it's wonderful. It's just wonderful to be in God's presence. And I don't really know what this morning will look like. Because when God comes, and when God turns upon the scene, he just does what he wants to do. And I don't honestly know how that's going to look yet. I just know that he's here and he wants to do something incredible with us. And so if you would like to stand, I'm going to read some scripture to us. And then I'm going to listen in the spirit for what God is saying for this morning, because I did write some little notes in my Bible. And this morning, about 5 o'clock, God just said to me, go take them out of your Bible and tear them up. So I've come here just with me and God and the Bible. So as you can imagine, that's quite awesome place to be. So the scripture is 2 Chronicles, first of all. It's 2 Chronicles 7. And it says, as soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And when all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement. And they worshipped and they gave thanks to the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing that you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And we just say today, maybe if that would be okay with you, if you maybe just put your hands out, because it's like saying to God that you want to receive something as well as to give something to God. It isn't something weird. We're just saying, Lord, we love you and we want to receive your love back. It isn't some kind of religious thing. We just say to you, God, today, that we love you and we want you to come in this place and we want your fire to fall and we want the glory to come. And we say to you, Lord, we know that we have holy moments, moments when you come, moments when you speak to our hearts. And we pray this morning would be a holy moment where you come and speak to our hearts and challenge us and shape us and move us from our complacency, move us from our uncomfortable places to come and be with you, Lord, today. We say that we love you. I do know that, God, and he's telling me you are a people that love him. But God, he's saying he wants some more from us. And today he's going to tell us how to do that and tell us what that looks like. And so, Lord, we say, please have your way amongst us, we pray, in your holy name, Lord. Amen. 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 You can sit down. If I could just say this thing to you, if you'd like to say like an amen or something every now and again, it's helpful, because when you talk and everybody sits really quiet, it's like you're thinking, have people gone to sleep or are they not really registering what you're saying? So an amen might be helpful every now and again. If you really want to get to your feet and have a run around and say yes, that would be good as well. but we need to kind of respond somewhere. When it appears saying this is serious, it is serious. We're seriously in love with Jesus, and we're serious about who God is, and we're serious, amen. And we're serious about God's word. I want to tell you, this word here, mine's absolutely dropping to bits. I've just ordered a new one. But my Bible's dropping to bits because I read it all the time. And it's a source of great treasure that brings forth gold out of me. I don't know how you read it, but I don't read it for information and I don't read it for a little bit of advice. I read it because I find Jesus on every page. I read it to find out who my Father is in heaven. I read it to understand how the Holy Spirit comes and makes the Father and Jesus very, very real. So I read it because of those reasons. And as I read it, it has helped me over years, because what the Bible doesn't do, it never hides faults and failures of man. And that's a massive fact. It doesn't hide them. How we are so prideful as people that we want to hide our failures and our faults, and we don't want them to be exposed, but the Bible comes to expose them. And when I was saying about this week of prayer and fasting, what I believe God is doing, he's going to bring some humility to us to say, actually, that's me. Because only an understanding that when I read the word of God, I find the faithfulness of God and I find the holiness of God. I see sometimes that's me with some failures. That's me with some faults. And I know that I can come to the God of grace and mercy and find the most amazing love. And I want to tell you that. So when Nye was speaking before, the girl's humble. You hear many people get up and speak, don't you? And they're all about really telling you stuff, and then you go away feeling a bit like condemned because you feel you could never really aspire to where they are. But when she spoke, she spoke with such humility, saying, I need to make space for Jesus. And that's why we have done this prayer and fast in the way that we've done it, and putting away some things that distract us from God's presence and being with Jesus, because we want to make space for him. We really do want to make space for his presence. It's so important for us. And so when we come to this scripture, in all its preciousness, it says, I appeal, or I urge, or I beseech. And I don't know if you can hear that like I can hear it. There's some urgency on the page. So, like, if you read the Bible and you just read it really quickly, and I appeal to you, brethren, and you read it through, but you don't stop to pause, you won't understand the goodness that's in Scripture, and you won't understand what Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, with the very penned words of God in his heart, like a love letter to us. That's what it is. It's God's love pages to us. And we do a really disservice to God, and we grieve God by not reading it. And when I say read it, I'm on about reading it every day. I'm not reading it every now and again, because that's painful to God. He's given us the most precious gift, and he's given you these love letters to help you in your life, and then you choose not to pick it up. And that's why it's here when he's saying this is serious. This year means something very, very different. You see, when Solomon was in the temple, the temple had been built, and it was very specific. It was to a specific order, and it was overlaid with gold, and it was beautiful, and it was of opulence. But more than its opulence and its beauty, it's where the presence of God was going to dwell. And that was more than the opulence of the surroundings. But it was very important that it was specific. And God, in this time, is doing something very specific with us. And he has been rearranging us and speaking to us. And all that rearranging means is not something very complicated. It's bringing forth holiness in us. And he's wanting us to look like Jesus in his rearranging. And so it is urgent. And when he's saying, I appeal to you, brethren, he's not saying, I command you. He's not dictating to the people. And I'll just go back to Solomon. Sorry, I was just lost my train of thought then. And you see, what has happened is that they dedicated the temple, and they were all of one mind, and there was all of one spirit. And I believe that God wants us to be in a place like that church. He wants us to be of one mind, in one spirit. And he wants us all to be dedicated. He wants our lives to be consecrated for him. And you understand, when they put the sacrifices on the altar, what happened when Solomon had finished praying, the fire and the glory came. And God was just showing me something from the two. And he was saying to me, when you present your body as a living sacrifice, I want you to really hear this, what I'm saying. There will be the fire and the glory that's going to fall in this place when you truly understand what it means. Mm. So he's urging us. And he's urging us, and it says, therefore, by the mercies of God. Do you actually know how important it is that God is merciful to you, and that is who he is? So his mercy has rescued you. And when we understand the gospel in its fullness, we hear many preachers going round preaching a gospel that is so weak and so demonic, would I say, that it is actually going to lead people to hell. And those people who preach such a gospel will have the judgment of God upon them, because it isn't just about a prayer. It isn't just about just believe. It has so much more weight. Because when you know the mercy of God that has given us Jesus Christ, that Jesus came out of the beauty of heaven to die a cruel death on a cross, to forgive us of the penalty of sin that we deserved, but it was put on Jesus, and his blood has redeemed us and made us free. If we respond in repentance and faith and turn to him. And then when you turn to him, what God is asking in this scripture about presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice because of the mercy. If you've heard the doctrine of justification, that you are being made right with the Father because of the precious blood of Jesus, let me tell you, it will cause something in your heart to fall on the mercy of Jesus, to say, Jesus, I am all yours. You will not withhold a single thing because you have grasped what it meant for Jesus to die on the cross. Do you know? You see, I don't think, and you'll know that I talk like this all the time, but I contemplate heaven and hell all the time. And I was just on my knees, and I felt that God was just showing me, do you really know what it would be like in the fiery flames of heat that were never quenched? Would you actually know what it would be like to live in darkness and gloom for eternity? Would you know what it was like to have a dry throat that you could not actually swallow? Do you know what it'd be like to hear some tormented soul screaming out in hell? And Jesus has rescued us because of the cross from that place of destiny, an eternal place. So there is many places, people who say, I'm going to hell to have a party. Do you know? Do not even laugh at them, because it is no party. It is no party. So you will go tell your friends. You will go tell your unsaved husbands. You will go tell your family. Because it's not a place we want anybody to go to. But God has rescued us out of that place. And that is his mercy. Do you understand that? That is his mercy. And then he says, present your bodies. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Lay them on the altar. He doesn't ask you to die in the physical, but he asks you to die in the spiritual. He tells you to deny yourself. He asks us to do that for him. And he asks us to take up our cross and follow him. That is the gospel. The disciples left everything behind and they followed Jesus. You hear in Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking of the bread, to prayer, to reading of the word, to preaching the gospel, to healing. That's what they did. They sold everything. They didn't withhold anything. And what is it in us today that we believe that we can do this half-hearted Christianity? That we can have our foot in the world and we can have our foot in the church and we can play a game with God? Well, he's a holy, holy God and you cannot play games with him. And we are not going to do that. We are going to dedicate our lives this morning. And we're going to give everything to him because he's worthy of it. And, you know, if you hear justification, what Jesus has done for you, that he has redeemed you, that he has bought you with great price, it will cause a humility to come upon you. And you will know that you will need Jesus. The world is making us so independent. The world doesn't want God anymore. And it tries to seduce us away from God. It does. You'll only know by your telly, by social media, by materialistic things. It seduces us away from being with God, and that's why we're doing the fast. Can I just say something about the fast and the praying? It's not something that we're going to do for a month. I don't want to just do it for a month, I want to do it forever. Because if we're serious in this church about the presence of God and we're going to give ourselves fully to God, that means we're going to have to put some things down to pick up more of Jesus Christ. That means that we're going to have to go lean into him. That means that we're going to have to fall on the mercies of Jesus. That means somewhere that we're going to have to face ourselves when the Holy Spirit comes to tell us, actually, there is some things in your heart, there are some things in your mind that need rearranging. They need to be brought in line with the Word of God. It's a very strange thing that we don't actually, and the world doesn't like it, and I don't even think the church likes it, being brought in line with the Word of God. But it's serious that we are brought in line with the Word of God. We don't live by any other measure or by any other rule. We live by what the Word of God says to us. It's important in the times that are coming because they bring truth to us and they set us free. And so when the Word of God tells us how to live, when we read James, and sometimes I know for some people who read James, they didn't like it, they wanted to get out of it quick, but James is talking about holy living. It's talking about our mouths and our attitudes, our hearts. It's telling us how to live righteously, because we have to practice righteousness. We're given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We've been given his robe, and we have been given his ring. And then we have to practice in who he has told us we are. We have to practice that, guys. The Bible tells us it. It's very plain in the Bible. It tells us it. Because when we come to Matthew 7, I think it is, where it says, and people use this so flippantly, and it says, and some will say, Lord, Lord. They'll come to him and they'll say, we prophesied in your name and we cast out demons in your name. And then Jesus will look at them and he will close the door. And he'll say, I never knew. Because Jesus is looking for his lovers. Jesus is looking for those people who are intentional about following him. Jesus is looking for the people that want to spend time with him, that want to pray, want to worship, and want to love on him, want to intercede. And when you intercede in prayer, it's the most glorious thing, because if you stay there, if you just stay there, if you stay there a little longer than just being really quick, you'll eventually feel the heart of God. And then you'll hear him saying things to you. Because I want to say, God doesn't hide himself away. We just don't make space and we don't stay there long enough to hear him.
True.
But he's not hiding himself from us ever. He doesn't do that. That's not what God does. Seek the Lord and he may be found, calling him while he's near. So he doesn't do that. It's us. It's us. It's all us, guys. I want to say that to you. And sometimes we're not responsive to hear from us. So this year, I feel that God is going to do something very extraordinary with us. And when I said to you about the Bible doesn't hide the failures, what happens is, this is what the enemy does to you. So when you trip up and get things wrong, because I want to tell you that we all sin, and we all do things that are wrong from time to time. And usually I do something every day at some time. Because I'd say, the more I get of Jesus in me, and the more I get of Jesus in me, the more I get the light in me, the more I do see, not with a condemnation, those things in my life that don't look like Jesus. I see those attitudes that I've got. I see those judgmental patterns that I sometimes can fall into. I can see many things. David, tell you. I'm sure you say a host of things about me. Because our partners know us more than anything. They know our mouths. They know our lips of how we speak. And our friends do. Yet, you know, it's so lovely that we read about people that are filled in the Bible, yet the mercy of God, the mercy of God just falls all over them. The grace of God is sufficient for them. And they just come and they bow down like we do. We confess our sin and God is faithful and just and will forgive us. But somewhere we keep holiness. Because if you just are walking this walk, so I'm going to read you this in this book. I have a little bee in my bonnet. And I've had a little bee in my bonnet for a long, long time. So I really, really hate people speaking about the doctrine of justification without sanctification. Because to be justified, this is what happens. The evidence of your justified state, your evidence that you understand that you are being redeemed and forgiven, that you have been adopted, that you are a child of God. The evidence of that, the evidence that you are loved and cherished and God's grace is upon you and he can't love you anymore or any less. The evidence of that is sanctification. The evidence of that is holiness. And so the two cannot be separated. And so I say, and I've said for years, it's like a glove. And I said, you put justification on one hand and sanctification on the other. And you look a little odd with one glove on and one glove off. And if you just do justification without the evidence of sanctification, about the evidence of being holy, what you are, you're not saved. Because it says in Scripture, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And so you aren't saved. You've maybe had an experience of God, but when you have been saved and you understand this doctrine of justification, the evidence is holiness. We might trip, we might fall, but our desire is to be holy. I get things wrong all the time, but my desire is to be holy. And that is what God is looking for, because he's looking for it at your heart. And so this guy says this, I'm going to read to it. And he's called John Charles Ryle, and he was born 1816. So I think that I can't have copied it off anybody, can I? Right. He says, "Oh, what is happening to me? What is happening to me then?" Let me just tilt it. That's it. It's going funny, Russell. He says, "I have no desire to make an idol of holiness." I want you to listen to this very carefully. "I do not wish to dethrone Christ and put holiness in his place, but I must candidly say I wish sanctification were more thought of in this day," that is back in all those days, "than it seems to be. And I therefore take occasion to press the subject on all believers into whose hands these pages may fall." So he's pressing it into our hands today. "I fear it is sometimes forgotten that God has married together." Listen to that. How beautiful is that? That's better than my voice. "God has married together justification and sanctification. They are distinct and different things, beyond question, but one is never found without the other. All justified people are sanctified, and all sanctified are justified. What as God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Tell me not of your justification, unless you have some marks of sanctification. Boast not of Christ's work for you, unless you can show us the Spirit's work in you. Think not that Christ and the Spirit can ever be divided. I doubt not that many believers know these things, but I think it is good for us to put in remembrance of them. Let us prove that we know them by our lives. Let us try to keep in view this text more continually. For the holiness without which no man will see the Lord." Whoa. So that is serious, guys. That is a serious thing. So just today, I want to tell you, in the sacrifice, this is what I'm going to finish with today. In the sacrifice that happened in the Old Testament, and the sacrifice that happened in the New Testament that God is telling us about, by the mercies of God to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, the sacrifice is very pleasing to God. And it is like a sweet aroma that goes up to the heavens. So when we lay our lives on the altar to say to God, "I am not withholding anything, I am giving everything over to you today," when we do that, this sweet aroma goes up to the heavens. But let me tell you, something glorious comes from the heavens to the earth, and it is God's glory and God's fire. So if we want to be a church who experience that, let me tell you, we will not this morning withhold anything. We will give it all to God, because he's given us it anyway. You're only breathing because God says you can breathe. You're only living today. Tomorrow might be a day where he says you're not living. And that's why I'm telling you about the mercies of God and about the importance of understanding about heaven and hell, of where you're going, and living a righteous life, because I believe in some churches, there will be some people, even in this church, and Dave knows, that I cry and I get down on my knees, and this is what I say to Jesus: don't let one soul go missing out of this church. Don't let us give the gospel away in a wrong way in this church, so people go to hell instead of going to heaven. Don't let us miss out on something, Lord, because let me tell you, when the sweet aroma comes and the glory comes down, there's going to be a great atmosphere shift. And when the atmosphere shifts, let me tell you, this, oh, you've all got one, this head, this mind, that becomes to shift and change as well. And you've all got a heart that's beating, that becomes to change as well. When you get in the presence and the glory of God, everything starts to change within you. And when the glory falls, we're going to start to see big time the healings and the deliverances. And it's all because the smell going up to the heavens. It's a smell of love. It's a smell of love. We've laid our lives on the altar and the smell of love is rising. It's rising to the heavens. And the God of heaven is taking a smell. And he can smell it. He can smell it. And what he's doing, he's coming down. He's coming down. He's saying, I'm coming to visit you. I'm coming to this home. I'm coming to this place. I'm coming to this temple, which is us, because we're hosting the God of heaven. And but he's coming here because we are a people that are hosting here, because we, the people, are the church. It's not a building. So we are hosting God's presence here. And God smells the smell of the fragrance and he says, I'm coming. I'm coming down. I'm coming to move amongst them. I'm coming to bring my glory. And so just God just started to speak to me. And he started to show me, this is the only thing that I kind of wrote down. And he was merciful, because God is merciful. And he was telling me why people can't offer their bodies as a living sacrifice. Why we withhold? So we say to God, you can come thus far, but no further. You can have this part of me, but you can't have that part of me. Well, in the Christian life, that doesn't work, because we don't get the fullness. We're not in pleasure, because we're living in two worlds all the time, and we don't get the fullness of God's joy and peace and rest in our lives, because we've made our souls jangly. And so here, I felt God said, there's some people that can't offer their bodies because you feel so broken. And you don't know how to give me your brokenness. And so you've had so many things over the years that have broken your spirit and broken your emotions and just damaged you. Even churches. People have been in churches that have damaged them and broken them. And then you're so broken, you don't actually know how to lay your body on the altar, because you just think to yourself, God was showing me, why would God want this brokenness? I need to come better. I need to come. And you're trying to make yourself better, and you'll never make yourself better, because there's only one Jesus who can put us back together. There's only one power that can put us back together. We can't fix ourselves. So if you're broken because you're grieved or you're bereaved or whatever is going on, and you think to yourself, I keep holding something back, God. I keep going forward and then coming back. I keep going forward and coming back. And I'm like a yo-yo. God is saying, give it all to me. And I felt that God was saying, some people can't offer the bodies due to their shame of their sin habits. And God was saying it's a lie. And he was saying to me, let them see my grace and my mercy. Mm. I have been in such a place. If some of you knew my life, I was such a mess. I was in big sin habits. I was coming along to church. I was hiding from people. I had sin habits that were continual. I hadn't really given myself to Jesus. I hadn't laid on the altar. And the minute I did that, the minute I let Jesus in, those things that I was addicted to, those sin habits that were full of addiction, and some of you have got them. And what the enemy does is he tries to keep you in shame when Jesus brings his light to bring you freedom. And that's what he's doing this morning. So nobody's going to ask you this morning what it is, but we're going to have some time. And I felt that God was showing me that some people have just got a fear of being free in the spirit. And so you think if you offer your life to Jesus, and because it's the Holy Spirit that makes us free. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus to us. And you don't know, you're frightened what things will look like. And you can't go to a place where in the logic you don't know. And I think that, if I was truthful, many men can get into this place. Because you're logical minded. I'm sure this might be some women that are, but I am not logically minded. And because you're logical, you just don't know what it's going to look like. But God brings good things to his children. God brings a feast for you. God has laid this table out for you to feast upon, even in the presence of your enemies today. And so don't let that stop you. And there is some people here today that God said, you are just shut down emotionally. And because you are shut down emotionally, because your bodies are your head. So in your head, you've got your mind. And you've got your heart with all your emotions running round in you. Somewhere he wants to let you to give everything over. So he wants your will, he wants your emotions. He just wants to get hold of your mind this morning. I'm not going to say any more. That's it. Because we're going to do some things and God has told me what he wants us to do this morning. And so I'll just stop the tape.